Chapter 2 "Gentlemen of the Anaheim Lions Club," the man at the microphone said, "we have a wonderful opportunity this afternoon, for you see, the County of Orange has provided us with the chance to hear from, and then put questions to and of, an undercover narcotics agent from the Orange County Sheriff's Department." He beamed, this man wearing his pink waffle fiber suit and wide plastic yellow tie and blue shirt and fake leather shoes. He was an overweight man, overaged as well, overhappy, even when there was little or nothing to be happy about. Watching him, the undercover narcotics agent felt nausea. "Now, you will notice," the Lions Club host said, "that you can barely see this individual who is seated directly to my right because he is wearing what is called a scramble suit, which is the exact same suit he wears, and in fact must wear, during certain parts, in fact most, of his daily activities of law enforcement. Later, he will explain why." The audience, which mirrored the qualities of the host in every possible way, regarded the individual in his scramble suit. "This man," the host declared, "whom we will call Fred, because this is the code name under which he reports the information he gathers, once within the scramble suit, cannot be identified by voice or even by technological voice print or by appearance. But he looks, does he not, like a vague blur and nothing more. Am I right?" He let loose a great smile. His audience, appreciating that this was indeed funny, did a little smiling on their own. The scramble suit was an invention of the Bell Laboratories, conjured up by accident by an employee named S.A. Powers. He had, a few years ago, been experimenting with disinhibiting substances affecting neural tissue, and one night, having administered to himself an IV injection considered safe and mildly euphoric, had experienced a disastrous drop in the GABA fluid of his brain. Subjectively, he had then witnessed lurid phosphine activity projected on the far wall of his bedroom, a frantically progressing montage of what, at the time, he imagined to be modern-day abstract paintings. For about 6 hours, entranced, S.A. Powers had watched thousands of Picasso paintings replace one another at flash-cut speed, and then he had been treated to Paul Klee, more than the painter had painted during his entire lifetime. S.A. Powers, now viewing Modigliani paintings replace themselves at furious velocity, had conjectured, one needs a theory for everything, that the Rosicrucians were telepathically beaming pictures at him, probably boosted by micro-relay systems of an advanced order. But then, when Kandinsky paintings began to harass him, he recalled that the main art museum at Leningrad specialized in just such non-objective moderns and decided that the Soviets were attempting telepathically to contact him.